Turn to someone, greet them in the name of the Lord. Just tell them how glad you are to see them. Amen. Thank them for coming out here on Saturday nights. Amen. Certainly thrilled to have all of you here with us. You did hear that Saturday's the new Sunday. That's right. You know, like they say, purple's the new black or whatever it may be, you know, fashion. Well, Saturday's the new Sunday for Word of Life Church, and we're making a conscious decision to make this service all that it can be. And the reason for that is every year we have grown at least at a 22% clip, 22% rate. Every year since, you know, about 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago. So with that, with us continuing that rate of growth, we've either got to build or add a service. And we're going to build, amen. We're looking forward to that. But like we said, even if we started building tomorrow, you're still talking about a year, 2 years away. And that's not including time to draw up the plans. And so we're going to keep growing into next year and then the next. Our only option is to start a new service. And that's what Saturday night's all about. And so encourage some of our Sunday morning folks that there's going to be some people coming this year as well as next year who are going to take their seats on Sunday morning. So we need them to open them up and come over on Saturday nights. And so we're thankful for you guys for realizing that Saturday is the new Sunday. In fact, all the cool church members come to church on Saturday nights. It's just all the cool ones, all the hip ones, they come to church on Saturday. The hungry ones come to church on Saturday night. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. On the screens, if you can go to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. 2 Samuel 24. And go to verse 23 on the screen, 2 Samuel 24, 23. In your Bibles, the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14. I tell you what, out of all the messages I've studied for and written over the past couple of months, there has been none more that I have fed more upon than this one. I mean, the Lord is really dealing with my heart about this issue and about this subject. I was reading a book today just for fun, and I'd read the book many times before. In fact, the book's called Today Matters by John Maxwell. I enjoy John Maxwell. I've read a lot of his books, and Today Matters is one of my favorites. And I was reading about personal growth. He's got a chapter on there on personal growth. And I saw many things that actually I put into the sermon tonight, one of them being this. I've said this before years and years ago, but there's a tribe, or there used to be a tribe, over in Central Asia called the Tartar tribe, T-A-R-T-A-R tribe, over in Central Asia. And when they had an enemy, they would curse them, you know, use their words to speak against them. And they wouldn't speak just doom or despair or death over someone. When they wanted to curse you, this is what they spoke. May you stay in the same place forever. That's what they would speak. That would be the worst curse they could think of, was to say, may you stay in the same place, right where you're at. May you stay there forever. Not see any progress. Not see any growth. Not see any advancement, not see any moving forward in life. Just stay right where you're at. And that's the greatest curse we can think of for you. And friends, I'm telling you, that is a curse. I'm telling you from Scripture, that's a curse. It's a curse to stay where you're at. It's a curse. God never intended any one of His people, any one of His kids, to not see progress in life. He definitely didn't intend for us to see decline, but He always intends us to see progress. And if I'm at the same place that I was at this time last year, something's wrong. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, my life It ought to be seeing some progress. It ought to be seeing a greater depth of growth, a greater depth of anointing, of power. It ought to be seeing my relationships go deeper and be stronger. Financially, I ought to see progress in business. You ought to see progress. God never intended us to stay on the same level. The path of the just grows brighter and brighter with each passing day. God's a God that can take a beggar, lift him out of the dunghill, and place him and set him among princes. We serve a God of promotion. We serve a God who lifts. He says, if you'll humble yourself, I'll lift you up. I'll raise you up from where you're at to where you need to be, to a higher level. And friends, this is the goal of this message, and I think it'll turn into two, perhaps three, is to get you over into a place where you're seeing progress, to reveal to you what you need to do to get off the level you're at and over into something greater, something deeper, something more powerful, more wonderful, more beautiful, to get us off the same place and over into the next place. In the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, Jesus is talking here. And there went with him a great multitude, and he turned and said unto them, if any man, that means you, that means me, comes to me and hates not his father and mother and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is strong language. Now, this word hate doesn't mean hate like we use it today. We know God doesn't want us to hate our mother or father. And we're called to love them, right? To honor them. This word hate doesn't mean that you just despise someone, can't stand someone. No, this word hate means prefer. It means to love a little bit less. And what Jesus is saying here, he says, if you really want to be my disciple, you got to realize what you're signing up for. And why is he saying this? Because he's at a place in his ministry where he's got a whole boatload of people following him. A whole multitude of people. And so he turns to him and he says, look, if you're really serious about this, if you really want to be my disciple, you need to understand what you're signing up for. This is not just a free ticket out of hell and a free ticket over into heaven. This is deeper than this. If you want to be my disciple, if you really want the best life I have for you, you got to do something. You got to prefer me above everything else. You got to prefer me above your father, above your mother, above your wife. You got to prefer me above your children, above your brother, above your sister. You got to prefer me above every other thing in your life. And when you get to that place, that's when you're really my disciple. That's really when I can do something with you. That's really when I can move your life in a higher and greater dimension, is where your love for me overshadows your love for everything else in this world. Doesn't mean you don't love your brother and sister. No, you're called by God to. Doesn't mean you don't love your children. No, you're called by God to. It doesn't mean you don't love things in your life. No, you're called by God to. But what it does mean is you love all those things less than you love him. That he is first. Not only, but first. God is a God of priorities. And at the end of the day, he wants him and his will to be your number one priority in this life. He goes on talking here. He doesn't just stop there. He goes on talking. And he says in verse 27, and whosoever, this is everyone, doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now what's he talking about? Bear your cross. Well, he gives an example of him later on bearing his cross. What's he doing bearing his cross? When Christ bore his cross, what did he do? He laid down his will to pick up his Father's will because he loved his Father more than he loved himself. He sacrificed. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. It is a symbol of great discipline. It is a symbol of laying down one's life. And he says, if you really want to walk with me, you've got to learn to do this. And then he gives another example, and this is the one we want to sit on, verse 28 for this evening service. He says, for which one of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down, underline it, first, and underline this, counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. He says, if you've got a great idea to build a tower, you've got this great ambition, this vision to build a tower, to bring something in your life that is not currently there. You want to build a tower. The tower's not there. You want to build it. You want to see something in your life that's not currently there. He says, you need to do something first. He says, you first need to sit down and count the cost. There's a cost to adding something new to your life. There is a cost to build something new in your life. It's not coming for free. It's not a handout. There's a cost to it. He goes on talking. We'll come back to this scripture. But he goes on talking in verse 29. And he says, lest haply, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other one is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage or an ambassador and desire condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he of you that forsake not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Strong, strong language. He says, if you want to see my best in your life, you really want to walk with me, you really want to see something new in your life, he said, you better do something first. The first thing you better do is to sit down. Sit down. Have you ever told someone you need to be seated for this? You might want to sit down first. He said, the first thing you need to do is just sit down. Sit down. And you better look at this and ask, am I willing to pay the price? Am I willing to pay the price to see what I need to see in my life? Am I willing to pay the price for progress? In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 23, it said, and all these things did this fellow do as a king give unto the king. And this fellow said unto the king, this king that he's talking to is David, the Lord thy God accept thee. Now verse 24. And the king said unto David, said unto the A fellow, no, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen, bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Now here there is disaster taking place in the land. And David knows, in order to cure this disaster, I need to do something. I need to draw near unto God. So he approaches this A fella and he says, look, I want to buy all these things here to build an altar. And then I want to buy all these animals here to make a sacrifice where I can draw near unto God. And the king turns to him. The other king turns unto David and says, no, 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 look, I'll give it to you. I'll just give it to you. And then you can offer it to your God. And David turns to him and says, no. He says, for I will not offer my God anything that didn't cost me something. Why? He knew God wouldn't accept it anyway. Friends, God is a God of discipline. And I know that in the church world today, there's not a whole lot of preaching on this subject, but that's why there is very little greatness in our world today. God's a God of discipline. He's a God of sacrifice. He is a God who is not after followers. He is a God who is after disciples. He wants disciples. And the only way to be a disciple is to be disciplined. That's where the word disciple comes from. One who has taken upon his master's will and applied it to his life makes one a disciple because he has disciplined himself in his master's ways. Friends, I'm telling you, if we want to see God's best, I have to be willing to pay a price. If I want to bring something into my life that is not currently there, I need to sit down and ask, am I willing to pay the price? Because it's not coming for free. Am I willing to sit down and weigh out the cost of this? Because I'm not just walking in this. It's going to cost me something. What I want to talk about tonight is price points. I'm going to give you some price points, some information on paying the price. And the goal of these price points is to motivate you to pay whatever price God has put on your heart. Because I guarantee you, you start talking to God about going to the next level, and He's going to start talking to you about some things He wants you to do. And whether or not you do those things has everything to do with whether or not that tower's getting built, that new thing's getting added, that war's getting fought, I'm making progress with God. Whether or not I'm paying the price that He puts on my heart has everything to do with that. Let's look at price point number uno, number one. Everything worth having costs something. I like what General Dwight D. Eisenhower said, also a president. He said, there are no great victories at bargain prices. If you want a great victory, it's going to cost you something. Because everything worth having has a cost to it, has a price to it. It's amazing to me in this attitude, it's prevalent in the church world, but it's prevalent. That's it. Thank you, Dean. Prevalent in the world in general. People want something for nothing. It's just the way it is. I was this way, even with, I'm doing my best to get in shape. And the first two weeks, man, I was dropping weight. I mean, fast, because you're dropping all that water weight. So finally, in the next couple of weeks, I'm like, man, I'm making very slow progress on the scale. So I went to someone who was in a lot better shape than I am. Just a little bit better shape. Brother Earl Berry, sitting on the front row. I went to Brother Earl, because I knew Brother Earl's in great shape. I said, look, I'm not dropping this weight as fast as I thought I would. And I've cleaned my diet. I'm drinking leafy greens. I mean, just the whole nine yards. I'm trying to get healthy. I don't want to just be in shape. I want to be in my best shape. So I'm pushing. And he basically told me, there are no great victories at bargain prices. I know you see all the diets with the pills and all of these other things trying to get you skinny quick and all these things, but there's no such thing. Anything worth having is going to cost you something. And so he's telling me, no, you need to shoot for a pound a week. You shoot for a pound a week and gain muscle mass at the same time, you can see progress. And friends, I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's not just way with that. It's that way with everything. You want great finances? The Bible tells you to avoid trying to get rich quick. It tells you to be diligent. It tells you to be faithful. It tells you to be steady. It tells you that there's nothing great that doesn't cost you something. There's always a cost to it. I'll go on with this a little bit further. I'm going to read from my notes a good bit tonight, not in a boring way, but in a sense of I got some words that I want to make sure I say exactly right. But you heard me talk about this a couple of weeks ago, how when I became pastor of the church, I thought that everything was just going to be great. Because I grew up watching my father preach, I thought, you know, that's easy. I mean, because you see a professional do it all the time, and you think, well, I could do that. I mean, I could just get up there and talk. No big deal about getting up there and talking. And so I had this great idea of what it would be like. Trying to get a great ministry at a bargain price. I just get up there and talk. No big deal. I just read a couple of books. And then I had all of his old messages. and shoe boxes. He hand wrote every message, hand wrote them. And I had them all in shoe boxes. I thought, I'll just preach it. No big deal. I don't have to write my own. I'd take one of his out and preach it. And friends, after a couple of months of doing that and failing, I realized that the reason why he got to where he was at, because he paid a price. He paid a price. And then got to thinking about it. I thought, you know, he was in his office a lot. I'd go to bed and he'd be in his office. I'd wake up and he'd be in his office. Then I went into his office and I saw all these books. And they weren't, I've been in preachers' libraries before and they got a lot of books, but then you pick them up and you can tell it had never been cracked. There's fresh white pages in there, binding still solid. But on his shelf, they'd all been broken in. They'd all been read multiple times. Then looked at all the Bibles that he went through. And then I got to looking at those sermons and I saw how he was preaching a different message Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Different one every time, 3 a week. And I saw the amount of study and how he hand wrote, you can ask my wife, she's seen them, beautiful. Every message, beautiful, handwritten, beautifully in cursive, beautiful. No scribble scrabble. No just a couple of scriptures and get up there and just see what the Lord does. There's a price. Because there's always a price. If you want greatness, you got to pay the price. See, my father told me this growing up. He said there are two pains in this life. You've heard me say this a lot, but it's the truth. There are two pains in this life. There's the pain of discipline, which comes from taking the narrow way. It's a path of sacrifice. But it leads to great future rewards. Or there's the pain of regret, which comes from taking the easy way and trying to get things quick. And that always leads to drama every time. And he said, in life, you're going to choose which pain you want. You're going to choose which pain you want. You're going to choose it in your health. I'm adding this. You're going to choose it in your health. You're going to choose which pain you want. You want the pain of discipline. You want the pain of regret. Financially, you're going to choose. You want the pain of discipline or you want the pain of regret. Relationally, you want the pain of discipline or you want the pain of regret. Because either way, you're going to choose. I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose which pain do I want. When it comes to preaching, I've got two options. I can get up here disciplined in my approach, or I can get up here and just goof off and try to preach, and I'll leave with regret. I've got two options. See, success, oftentimes people look at it, and they think, well, I'm successful because I'm at a different level of living than these other people. That's why God doesn't want you just looking after success. You know what he wants you looking at? He wants you looking at excellence. And excellence does not weigh itself against the performance of another. Excellence weighs itself off of the performance you gave versus your potential. And at the end of the day, only you know in that workout or in that preaching or when you were painting or when you went to work whether you gave your best. And excellence refuses to lower that bar, and there are rewards that come to it. There are rewards that come with it. Everything, everything, everything worth having comes at a cost. The question is, are you willing to pay it? Let's go to price point number two. Price point number two. Let's put it up on the screens. Everyone who has achieved greatness has paid an extraordinary price. There's no one experiencing anything truly great that didn't pay a price for it. One of my favorite stories is John Maxwell. He talks about this. But one time he was doing a lesson and he asked the people, he said, how many of you want to be leaders? And of course, John Maxwell teaches on leadership, so everyone's there is wanting to be a leader. And he says, how many of you want to be leaders? So everyone, yeah. I want to be a leader. Then he asked him, why? Why do you want to be a leader? And he said, it's my experience that most people say they want to be a leader because of the perks that come with leadership.
You know, they, if I'm a leader, then I can drive a nicer car, I can live in a nicer house, or I get to tell people what to do, or I get to set my own schedule. I don't have to be there at 9, I can be there at 11 if I want to be there at 11. I don't even have to come into work today if I don't want to come into work today. I'm a leader, I'm the leader. Yes, Lord. He said people think they want to be a leader because of the perks. He said what they fail to see is that when you're the leader, yes, there are more perks, but that's because there's a higher price. There's a price. And he gave this example. He said he was teaching one time, and he was teaching all these people. And of course, he's written all these books. And a guy comes down to him and shook his hand. He said, "Brother Maxwell, I'd like to do what you do." Brother Maxwell kind of stopped. He said, "What is it, sir, do you think that I do?" He said, you teach all these people. You write all these books. You fly around on a jet. I want to do what you do. I know you live in a nice house. I know you drive a nice car. I want to do what you do." He says, "Really? You want to do what I do?" He said, "Yes." He said, "My friend, it's not a question of if you want to do what I do. It's a question of, do you want to do what I did to do what I do?" Ask anyone who has anything great. Ask anyone who has a great marriage. What did it cost you? What did it cost you? And I guarantee you, you hear a story of forgiveness, of love, of mercy. I counseled with a guy who was in a tough marital situation, but man, it turned around. I asked him, "When did it change?" And he said, "One time we got in an argument." And he said, "Every other time I just leave, just walk out, get in my car, drive off. Every time." He said, "You know when it changed? When I made the decision not to." Did it hurt? Yeah, because he had grown up seeing that. It went against everything he thought. "I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to be told what to do. I'll just leave." But he incorporated the pain of discipline and stayed and had an honest conversation. They realized they could fix things. Their marriage came up higher. See, if I want a higher marriage, there's a cost that's tied to it. I've got to change something. I can't wait on someone else to change it because I'm not the master of them. The only person I'm the master of is me. I've got to master my life. Everyone who has achieved greatness has paid an extraordinary price. Price point number 3. I hope we can get to all 9. I don't think I am. It's 6:18. Number 3. The price you pay is more important than the talent you possess. The price you pay is more important than the talent you possess. A lot of people think, "Man, if I just had a different talent, I'd be fine." Talent, can I just say this? It's overrated. It's overrated. And this is why it's overrated, because everybody has one. Now, some people have different talents, and some people have more than one talent. But everyone, according to Scripture, has a talent. The question is not whether you have a talent. The question is are you willing to pay the price? I love this story. I tell it a good bit. It's been a while since I've told it, though, and it'll do you good to hear it again if you've heard it in the past. But after Brother Hagin died, that's the minister I followed under, minister who in Bible school I went to. After he passed away, everyone was asking, "Who's going to be the next Brother Hagin? Who's going to be the next Brother Hagin?" And they were using the example of Elijah and Elisha. How that when Elijah died, Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha, and Elijah picked up where Elijah left off. And so they're saying, "Who's going to pick up after Brother Hagin? Who's going to get his mantle?" As if one person would get it. And who's going to get it? Who will it be? And I heard Pastor Hagin get up and he was talking about this. I thought what he said was just incredibly profound. Because a lot of people think that when it comes to anything like that in ministry, or when it comes to anything like that in life, that it's just all on God. That if God wants you to be that, you'll just be that. If God wants you to be successful, you'll just be successful. If God wants that mantle to fall on you, that mantle will just fall on you. And I don't see that from Scripture. If there's anyone who could have been entitled, it would have been Jesus. "I'm the Son of God. I can just walk around. Come on, boys, just lay out the red carpet before I walk." But you know what? Even as a young man, he knew he had to pay the price. He's about his father's business. Even before he went in ministry, You know what the Lord led him to do? He led him to go up in a mountain and pay a price. 40 days of being tempted. 40 days, day after day after day. And when he came off that mountain, that's when he came off with the power of God upon his life. Why? He paid for it. I said he paid for it. If Jesus would have said, you know what, I don't think I want to go up that mountain. I mean, I'm not eating for 40 days, I don't think I want to do that. You know, a boy's got to eat. He could have said that. He could have said that. But if he wasn't willing to pay the price, there's no telling what would have happened in his life. There's no entitlement in the kingdom of God. No entitlement. Where was I? The price you pay is more important than the talent you possess. So with this, Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin got up. This is Brother Hagin's son. And he said, everyone's talking about this. Who's going to get his man on? And he said, look. He said, even if you had the same call of God on your life as Brother Hagin had the exact same call, he said, it still wouldn't compare to the price he had to pay. It's not a question of even if you had the same call, it's a question of will you be willing to pay the same price? He said, my father would go and preach for 3 weeks. 3 weeks straight away from home, write a love letter to his wife every day, and she one to him. Would drive 20 hours just to have breakfast with his kids for 1 hour, then drive 20 hours back on a road with no jet travel or anything like that. 20 hours back on the road to go preach again. He said, I'd come, and like I said about my father, I'd go to sleep and he'd be writing notes. I'd wake up and he had never moved from that position. He paid the price for it. It didn't just fall on him like a gift from heaven. No, a gift from heaven came, but he had paid the price to make the most of that gift. Never forget, God's gift to you is your talent and ability, but your gift to God is what you choose to do with it. The price you pay is more important than the talent you possess. Number four, our fourth price point. I like this one. We'll go real quick with it. You cannot make up tomorrow what you fail to pay for today, so pay the price now. You hear people talking about this. Well, I'll give 110%. We went out on the field and gave 120%. No, there's no such thing. Every day, you can only give 100% today. You can only give 100% today. And if you don't give 100% today, and you think, well, I'll just make it up tomorrow, you can't, because the most you can give tomorrow is 100%. I got that from John Wooden. He said, my goal in practice is to just get my players to perform and play every day and practice at 100%. Because there is no such thing as coming in tomorrow and going at 120%. The most you can give is 100%. So if I don't pay the price today, all I did was shortchange today. That's what Jesus was talking about. And he said, man, don't take thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's overrated. Today is underrated. Do something today. You remember Saul? The Lord told him, go and kill all the animals, all the people, the whole city. And Saul went over there and he did a lot of it, but not all of it. And he brought it all back. And basically his point was, is I'll pay the price later. I'll pay it later. And you remember Samuel came to him and said, what is this bleeding of the ears I hear? And because he heard the sacrifices being made and all these animals being killed after the battle. And he said, well, I thought I'd worship the Lord with it. I thought I'd just wait to do it and then just worship the Lord with it. And the point that Saul missed and that Samuel revealed to him was that delayed obedience is the same thing as disobedience. If you told your kids, I want you to go take out the trash, and you came back 2 hours later, and they were still sitting, still playing that PlayStation, and you told them, go take out the trash. Now, if you told them, I told you to go take out the trash, and they said, I am going to take out the trash, I just wanted to do it later. To you, is that the same thing as disobedience? It's the same way to God. If he's dealing with your heart to do something today, you only got two options, but you only got one smart option, and that's to do it. If he's telling you to do something, do it. Because I can't go tomorrow and make up for today. All I can give today is 100%. Let's go to the next price point. Number five. All right, we're making progress. Come on, let's go. Everyone pays a price, but the price is not the same for every person. We'll all pay a price, but your price will be different than my price. Everyone's going to pay a price. Everyone is.
But your price will be different than my price. Anytime you see someone having success, they have paid the price specifically. I'll give you an example. Peyton Manning, I'm a big sports fan. And Peyton Manning right now is having a wonderful season. I'm grateful for it because he's on my fantasy team in the church league. So all the games I've won is because of Peyton Manning. But with this, Peyton Manning is having one of the best seasons of any NFL quarterback in history. You know what? When I watch Peyton Manning, or when some of you may watch him, no one says, you know what? I bet he can't sing. No one said, you know, I bet he can't paint. I bet he can't paint. Well, of course he can. Because all success is where someone has specialized in their strength. Yeah, that's good. In their strength. See, my race is different than Peyton Manning's race. And Peyton Manning's race is different than my race. And my race is different than your race. And your race is different than my race. So there's a price I'm going to have to pay for my race that you may not have to pay for yours. But there's a price you're going to have to pay for your race, and I might have to pay for mine. When I look at Paul's life, I'm thankful I didn't have his call. When I look at Peter's life, I'm thankful I didn't have his call. Because there is a price tied to his race that's not tied to mine, I hope. That's not tied to mine. So with this, it's the same way with you. There's a price specifically for your race. And this is why it's hard for me to necessarily teach on this, because I can't tell you do A, B, and C to pay your price. Because I don't know what price the Lord is telling you to pay. But here's the thing. You do. You know what price he's telling you to pay. You know. I know for me. I remember years ago, when I first started preaching, I was listening to John Maxwell. And he was talking about how he met with a man who had a ministry. It's kind of like Bob Harrison's, where he talked on success and whatnot. And this man came in and had lunch with John Maxwell. And John Maxwell was a pastor in Iowa at the time. I think it was 1974. And they came in and had, not, I said lunch, it was breakfast. They had breakfast with each other. And they were talking, and the man asked John Maxwell, he said, "What's your personal plan for growth?" John Maxwell said he rambled for about 10 minutes because it's always been easy for him to talk. But at the end of it, the man looked up and said, "John, you don't have a personal plan for growth, do you?" And he said, "No, I don't have one." And he said, "John, growth doesn't come automatically. The only way you're going to grow is when you grow on purpose." He said, you got to develop a personal plan for growth. And he said, that stuck out to him. He said he went home and talked to his wife, Margaret, and said, "We don't have a plan for growth. I mean, we're wanting to grow a church, we're wanting to grow this family, but we don't have a plan that we're executing every day." See, it's real hard to measure progress if you don't have a plan for progress. Because you're trying to progress, but if nothing's working, you don't know what's wrong in your plan. You need a plan. God will always give you one. He always has plans. He didn't just say, "Go take Jericho." He gave him a plan. He's a God who has a plan for everything. So anyway, he came to his wife and said, "We don't have a plan. We don't have a plan for personal growth. We need one." And he said, "I think a lot of it has to do with buying this material." He said, $750. In 1974, that was a lot more money than it is today. It has a lot of money for their salary. And they looked at it and said, "We're going to have to budget for 6 months to pay for this. It is all this product and material." But they said, "Let's pay it. There's no greatness without a price. None." So they paid it. That's why it's important who you marry. Because your spouse can hinder you from paying your price. Or they can help. She helped. Oh, Miss Aretha helped for Brother Hagin. He couldn't have run his race without that woman. Most women wouldn't have put up with it, him being on the road that much preaching. But anyway, so they agreed to pay the price. And he wrote down what his price would be. He said, "I feel like the Lord is dealing with me." And this was way back then, 1974. "The Lord's dealing with me on leadership." So he said, "For 1 hour every day, I'll study the subject. I don't care what comes up. I don't care what happens in that day.
For 1 hour every day, I'll study the subject of leadership. Then he said, I'll listen to a tape, one tape a day on the subject of leadership, 5 days a week. Then I'll read two books a month. And then I'll make one appointment a month, because relationships matter. I'll get around other successful people. I'll meet with them. I'll talk to them. I'll take them out to lunch. I'll schedule an appointment with them. And he said, I think if I do those things, I can grow. I study leadership 1 hour a day, listen to a tape 5 days a week, read 2 books a month, go to 1 appointment a month. I think I can grow. And he said, I look at my life now and I realize I'm where I'm at today because of that decision. And while he's talking about this, him paying the price, personal plan for growth, man, the Lord dealt with me about that. He said, Joel, you're trying to grow the church. The church is never going to grow beyond you. I tell my staff that all the time. I say, the church is never going to grow beyond our ability as a staff to grow. If we don't grow, the church never will. If we don't get as healthy as we can spiritually, we can only take the church to the same level we're at spiritually. The disciple's not greater than his Lord. So with this, if we want the church to grow, we've got to grow in every area. And so the Lord dealt with me about that. He said, you're trying to get something done out here, but I'm trying to get something done in here. And when something gets done in here, things out here will take care of themselves. Are you growing? This is what he's telling me. And so the Lord dealt with me. Develop a personal plan for growth. I took a lot of what John Maxwell did. I wrote it down. And today, you can ask my wife, I read about 2 books a week. My wife makes fun of me because she comes in my bathroom and says, you've turned the bathroom into a library again. You've turned our bed into a library again. You can ask me, she tells me that all the time. You go in my room right now, there's books everywhere. Why? Because a lot of them aren't that good, just be honest. So you skim and then it's like, okay, I can't take anything from that. But anyway, that's part of my price. It's not your price, but I know it's my price. I got to make a decision. Am I going to pay it? I try to listen to at least one podcast from another preacher that I admire or respect every day. That's part of my price. Not part of your price. It's part of my price. So in your life, and there's been other things. For Jerry Savelle, he said he was talking to the Lord about, why am I going to the next level? And once again, the tower. You want to build a tower, you better sit down first and ask, what's the cost? And so he's talking to the Lord about building a tower, taking his life further. And the Lord said, you're asking the wrong question. The question is what cost are you willing to pay? And he said, here's what you're not doing. He said, you're not praying in the Spirit enough, and you're not calling those things that be not as though they were enough. He said, if you want to go to the next level, that's what it's going to cost you. See, for everyone, it's different. For everyone, it's different. And I don't know what the Lord's been dealing with your heart on, but I know about what he's been dealing with my heart on. And the question is, am I going to pay the price today? Now, I've got more points, but you're going to have to come back next week. Every eye closed. Oh, you guys are a blessing to preach to. Let's pray before we leave. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, we thank you. We will pay the price. We will pay the price. And Father, we thank you. And I just thank you especially, Lord, if there's anyone in here and they say, you know what, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know the price. I know that there is one. And so, Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name that if there's anything that they've forgotten, would you bring it to their remembrance? If there's anything that they need to hear, would you speak it to their heart? And, Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name that their heart captures your instruction. Your heart gets the plan for the next level, the plan for progress. And Father, after they get that plan, let them walk it out, let them fulfill it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just real quick here, if you're here tonight and you need to make a decision for Jesus, whether to rededicate your life or to give your life to him for the very first time, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, no one's looking around. I want every one of us in here, whether you need to make a decision or you made a decision a long time ago. And this is good for all of us because as we heard tonight, the Lord wants to be our Lord. So this is a good prayer for all of us to pray, to make him number one. Maybe he's been number three or four for a little while now, and you heard tonight, he wants to be number one. So this will be good for all of us to pray. Every bowed, every eye closed. Just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I choose you. I choose your will. I choose your way. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that I make the most of the life you've given me. Let me run my race. Let me finish my course. Let me see progress. I'll pay the price. Lord Jesus, you're my Lord. Anything that has come before you, I acknowledge and I change priorities. I make you number one. You're my first. Everything else comes after you. And I thank you, Lord, that all my mistakes, all my sin, all my failures are forgiven. Washed clean. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days start right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Check.